starts right now.
You know, in 2016, I actually say we did far better in that election. Got the most that anybody's ever gotten as a sitting president of the United States. I think that when you look at that result and when you look at what happened during that election, unless you're a very stupid person, you see what happens. A lot of the people in this audience, and maybe a couple that don't, but most people understand what happened. That was a rigged election. And it's a shame that we had to go through it. It's very bad for our country.
So, in case you were wondering what kinds of things President Trump said during the town hall on CNN the other night with Caitlin Collins, there's a sample. No surprise. It began with her trying to get him to say that the election was fair and that Joe Biden was the president. And he wouldn't and couldn't. And, you know, I will not say I like green eggs and ham. I will not say the election was not a scam. He just, you know, wouldn't and couldn't and kept saying this idea, which is not surprising at all. And she pushed back.
It was not a rigged election. It was not a stolen election. You and your supporters lost more than 60 court cases on the election. It's been nearly 2.5 years. Can you publicly acknowledge that you did lose the 2020 election?
Let me just go on. If you look at Truth the Vote, they found millions of votes on camera, on government cameras, where they were stuffing ballot boxes. So with all of that, I think it's a shame that what happened. I think it's a very sad thing for our country.
And you know this is not a surprise. And he repeated the stupid claim.
I was just saying there's no evidence of that election fraud. You did once tweet.
You're supposed to say that, but, you know, I'm glad you say that. But look,
it's
that was
truth,
a horrible election. That was a horrible election. And unless somebody's very stupid, and I know you very well, you're not stupid at all, but you perhaps are given an agenda or you have an agenda. Look, we have to have honest elections in our country. We have open borders. We have...
So here's one of the things that was interesting about this town hall, in case you did not watch it, obviously, is they put the people in the audience were Republicans or non-affiliated. They call them, I forget the name. Not independents, but there's a different term they use in that particular location. And yet, it was not a, like, fair and balanced, you know, it wasn't a general election crowd. It was meant to be a Republican crowd because the first choice Republicans will face is the primaries, right? And, you know, the voting system allows the affiliated to vote and they'll vote in the primary. And so you had a lot of Trump supporters in the crowd. And CNN has come under criticism for this. I actually thought that was good. Now, the crowd being on his side clearly emboldened him throughout the thing, clearly made him feel like he could say things to her that he might not be able to feel he could get away with saying to a neutral crowd or to a non-crowd in a one-on-one kind of environment. But again, I actually agree with CNN, which has come under a lot of criticism for this town hall, for the way it was handled, the giving of it in the first place, the staffing of the crowd with people who are his supporters. Their answer is, these are Americans too, and these people vote, and this is a part of the electorate that media has basically tried to pretend doesn't exist. And we thought that it was fair and accurate to let people who are Trump supporters be in the crowd that would listen to Trump try to persuade people to vote for him in the primary. And I agree with them about that. I think that what was on display was not just Trump and his views and his eccentricities and his looniness, which it often is, okay, and also his appropriate brags and the things that he did right. And, you know, some of the times where he says just outrageous things, that's all part of the Trump package. Also, what was on display was his support, his base, the Republican Party. That's an accurate bit of reporting. I think nobody who watches this could possibly say they didn't see who Trump is and who the Republican Party, at least part of it, is. And in that sense, it's good journalism. Not just a good show, not just a 3 million people watched it versus the normal slot for that time is 700,000. Not just a ratings coup for CNN. It was representative. you know, if you wanted to know, who is this Trump? I mean, not that anybody doesn't know, but if you want to know who is he in, you know, 2023, here you go. That's what you learned. And he's going to repeat these ridiculous claims about the election, and he's going to say it was rigged and it was stolen, and he's going to lie about that stuff. Or, I mean, lie is maybe not the right term. He's going to be wrong, because if you believe the thing to be true, it's not a lie technically. You know, it can be false, but if you believe it, then it's not lying to say it's true. But, you know, he's going to get it wrong, but he's gotten it wrong like that for, you know, the last, 3 years, right? So Caitlin Collins talking about January 6th.
One person who was at the Capitol that day, as you know, was your vice president, Mike Pence, who says that you endangered his life on that day.
I don't think he was in any danger.
Mr. President, do you feel that you owe him an apology?
No, because he did something wrong. He should have put the votes back to the state legislatures, and I think we would have had a different outcome. I really do.
But he doesn't have the authority to do that, as you know.
A really interesting answer. Because even though he praises Pence for being a good guy, and even though, of course, he goes through this extended discussion with her about whether he did or did not, and he says he did, and she says he did not, and I say he did not, take appropriate action that day to thwart the violence once it was obvious what was going on at the Capitol. Okay, put all that aside. She says, he says you put his life in danger, and he says, well, he did something wrong, as in blaming the victim, which is another way of saying, well, yeah, even if I did, he deserved it. Which is an astounding thing for him to say. It's completely different in tone from the rest of his comments ever since that, you know, he's not responsible. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't incentivize the crowd. I have always said, and I still hold, that Trump is not responsible for the attack on the Capitol because what he said did not create that attack. Okay? I don't think you can blame him and his speech for that attack. I think you can blame him for being negligent, for not taking enough action to stop it once it was happening. I think him sitting in the White House not acting was a terrible dereliction of duty. But the causation of him starting, I don't think you can say that. But this is interesting because it says, well, he deserved it. And if he deserved it, then you start to think, well, you know, I don't know. If he deserved it, and I believed he deserved it at the time, was I wanting it to happen because he deserved it? You follow? I mean, see, I've always said, and I still think, that what Trump wanted was for, obviously, Pence to do different, for the government to do different at that day. And he was hoping that the rally of the people at the Capitol would be enough of a reminder that, hey, the people care and they're angry about this to change people's minds. Not in the sense of threats and violence, but in the sense of a protest having an effect on legislators. That's what I have always thought. Of course, it turned from a protest into a riot into, in some cases, an insurrection, not all cases. Anyway, so I just thought that was an interesting answer. On the E. Jean Carroll trial.
Manhattan jury found that you sexually abused the writer E. Jean Carroll and defamed her. You've denied this. But what do you say to voters who say it disqualifies you from being president?
Well, there aren't too many of them because my poll numbers just came out and they went up. Okay.
I mean, he's not. It's true. The perception that he's being attacked, that certainly is how a lot of people react to this, that this is, you know, he calls it a witch hunt. And when he got, you know, when Mar-a-Lago got raided, his poll numbers went up. When the trial goes on and the outcome, his poll numbers go up because people think, many of them think that he's being persecuted. Many others, probably the people who would decide the general election don't believe that, but the people who might decide the primary, many of them do.
Because what's happening is they're doing this for election interference. This woman, I don't know her. I never met her. I have no idea who she is. I had a picture taken years ago with her and her husband. Nice guy.
Well, it's not really possible to say I never met her and don't know who she is if I took a picture with her all these years ago. You did meet her. But that's the way Trump speaks, right, in contradictory terms. He's not a, you know, propositional logician where he says things that, you know, can be matched up with each other logically. Genuinely, that's his way of speaking, okay? And it drives me crazy as a philosopher and a logician, but it is the way he speaks. And so to say, I never knew her, I never saw her, I never ever met her my whole life, there was this one time where I was with her in this picture, and you're like, wait, what? How can they both be true? Well, that's just the way he talks, okay? They can't both be true, but again, that's how he talks.
I ask you, given your recounting
your version.
I don't know
who, and I tell you this.
But Mr. President,
are you ready?
Can I
swear on my children, which I'd never do. I have no idea who this woman. This is a fake story, made up story.
And of course, the jury in that case felt differently. His response is, well, there's all these problems with the trial and with the judge. And on the other side, you have, well, it was a jury, you know, and they unanimously found him guilty of the lower charge and of defaming her for denying the charge of rape, which they ultimately did not find him guilty of.
You referenced the trial. You did not go to the trial and actually testify. Do you wish that you had testified?
No, it wouldn't have made a difference. This was a rigged deal. This was a... My lawyer said, sir, you don't have to do it. I actually said, I think I should. It would be respectful. They said, sir, don't do it. This is a fake story, and you don't want to give it credibility. That's why I didn't go.
One thing you did do in this...
And I swear, and I've never done that, and I swear to you, I have no idea who the hell... She's a whack job.
Mr. President, you did not testify...
And, you know, as a voter, you have to decide, do you believe him or do you believe her, right? I mean, if you think this is all relevant, that's a question you have to decide. You know, is it within his range of character to have done something like this all those years ago? You have to decide. Other allegations against him, known behaviors that he's committed that were inappropriate. Do you say this did happen, this could have happened? You certainly can't say it's impossible that something like this happened. But there are weirdnesses in the story, the similarity with the TV show, you know, his claims that he would never have done that. He went through a long portion where he recounted her version of things in a satirical way and is very much winning the crowd. He knows how to work a crowd. So again, there's a lot to be said about this. And, you know, later in the show, I'll get into some of the claims about Ukraine and about abortion, which are very important, by the way. But I think my take on this is I think this is a good bit of journalism. I think this winds up being useful for people because it shows the American voter, which often this slice of the American voter electorate does not get much TV coverage. They kind of get denied or insulted or told that they don't really matter. And CNN showed his base, okay? And we found out who President Trump is. If you didn't know, or if you're wondering how he might have changed since, you know, losing the election. This is, so in that sense, it's a good, I don't know, representation of a particular slice of the presidential election upcoming that might not get all that much attention. So I actually think, good job, CNN. 522 on News Radio. And, you know, she tried her best to push back on him, and I think she did an adequate job in the parts that were appropriate to push back on. And she never lost her cool. He did at one point. You know, you're a nasty woman at one point, which is appropriate, and she didn't really respond to that because she, you know, sometimes you just let it go, right? 437-1620, 437-1620. If you're getting a really nice import, a BMW, Porsche, Mercedes, Genesis, Jaguar, Lexus, you buy these cars, you pay extra for them. They're wonderful cars. They're well-made. But then you think, well, I got to maintain them at the dealership. You don't. You don't. You don't have to go to the dealership. And if that dealership happens to be a Mobile, a lot of them are, you don't have to drive over the bridge, over the water, all the time, and spend extra to be at the dealership in the first place. You can go to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on imports all the time. They work on domestics all the time. It's not just the imports. They work on everything, you know, everything from your diesel engines. Yes, they work on those. They're a little different. You don't have to go to the dealership if your truck's bothering you. Take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service. Check them out online at carclinicservice.com or just drive in person. Either way, whatever you want to do. Carfax rated them a top-rated service center, 4.5 average reviews or above in 2021. Take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
Finding great people to hire is like trying to find a needle in a haystack. It's pretty difficult, right? Well, ZipRecruiter has mastered finding a needle in a haystack, so they take it to the next level. They make hiring so simple that it's like finding a needle in a needle stack. And that's why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. Here's what it's like to use ZipRecruiter. They have so many qualified candidates that it's easier to find the right ones for your roles. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's a lot of needles. So how do they do it? ZipRecruiter's powerful technology sends you candidates who are a great match for your job, and you can even invite your top choices to apply. So if you want less hay and more needles, head to ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer Shine counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
The bartender never gets killed.
No, man. Bartender got it worse than anybody.
Soy un hombre muy honrado que me gusta lo mejor. A mujeres no me falta ni el dinero ni el amor. Jineteando en mi caballo por la sierra yo me voy. Las estrellas y la luna ya me dicen dónde voy. Ay, 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 ay.
Oh, man, he's everywhere but the cup. 526 here on News Radio 92.3.
Let me know when you're going to play that so I can stack stuff instead of just
and knocking
knock
it all over
phones.
And kick it over like Antonio Banderas on the bar top.
Yes.
David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
The Biden administration being sued over a new border rule restricting asylum seekers. Immigration rights groups represented by the ACLU have filed a legal challenge in federal court. Yesterday, just moments before this new rule was set to take effect, the groups claim the new rule dramatically curtails the availability of asylum here in the U.S. There's some reports that Twitter owner Elon Musk is in talks now to hire NBC Universal executive Linda Yaccarino as the new CEO for Twitter. The Wall Street Journal was the first to report that Musk wants to hire Yaccarino because of her strong relationships with advertisers and marketing groups. And astronomers apparently have identified a cosmic explosion in a galaxy far, far away that's about 100 times the size of our solar system. The biggest cosmic explosion ever observed is what they're saying. And they say it's the result of a big cloud of gas that was disrupted by a supermassive black hole 8 billion light years away.
All right. So
it was me.
Literally. Sorry. Pumbaa.
Slossy Hindu. Yeah.
So literally, in a galaxy far, far away, a long time ago, 8 billion years ago, right?
Technically,
that's what they're saying. Yeah.
All right, just checking. I'm not saying you're claiming this is the end plot for the Star Wars universe, but I did catch your phraseology there. So
you should get Mayor D.C. Reeves on the phone.
I should get
right
him on here to not understand that joke. Is that what you're saying? David, thanks for
DC
the update.
Won't. Yeah, that's funny.
528 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, good news yesterday. We got the news that American Magic, the Triumph grant, came in. So Warehouse 10 renovations are going to be funded by Triumph. I don't know where Triumph came from. $8.5 million grant to complete renovations Warehouse 10 at the port. And that's going to aid American Magic sailing team to permanently relocate their headquarters here. So this is a deal now. This was a possibility we were hoping for. And remember, the DC's approach to all this has been, don't try to go for, you know, the $50 million grant. Go for the $8 that you can get and then do it and come back to Triumph and say, here's the next $10 we want to do and get that. And then, you know, which makes more sense, bite-sized chunks that you can actually accomplish. So outstanding news development there for the port from Triumph Gulf Coast. 437-1620. The Palo Fox Market, I think, starts tomorrow, the new location, the secondary location.
There's another location?
Yeah, remember they had this big conversation about turning, Jackson Square. right across from Jackson's. That whole area is going to be like the second Palafox Market now. So,
oh, what a cool area. It's got fountain.
That's a beautiful scenic spot.
Cool.
So,
because it's so hard to park at Palafox. Not hard, but there's just a ton of people there.
Well, let's be honest. That problem may persist now at the southern location, too, right? There's a lot of...
Yeah, that's worse.
Parking is going
to
be...
there's parking lots.
It's also... What's the walking time from the one to the other? That's... 10 minutes?
Like for me or regular people? Like 10, probably about 10 minutes. About 10 minutes.
All right. Well, anyway, it's good to see, and I'm sure it's gonna be thriving tomorrow.
I'll let you know.
David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
Two men are charged after a high-speed chase this week. We'll have more after Fox.
I'm CJ Papa. Title 42 ends. U.S. immigration policy has changed. Kansas Senator Roger Marshall.
I would call on Secretary Mayorkas to be impeached by the House.
Yes.
He's derelict in his duties.
The Republican on the Ingram angle, the pandemic-era rule now gone. Thousands of migrants trying to push into the nation. A federal judge in Florida blocks the Biden administration from releasing migrants without court notices. The top four leaders in Congress and President Biden will not meet today, and the debt ceiling is scheduled. It's been pushed back to next week. More violent confrontations between Israel and Palestinian militants for a third straight day. Israeli warplanes striking targets in the Gaza Strip and militants firing rockets toward Jerusalem and southern Israel. No immediate reports of casualties on either side. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31. News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 73 degrees. Partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Two cantonment men facing charges after a high-speed chase that reportedly reached speeds up to 110 miles an hour this week. 37-year-old Winston Nobles was driving the car. He's being held with no bond on several charges, including theft of a motor vehicle and a firearm, and also fleeing and eluding. His passenger, 42-year-old Christopher Holt, also charged with grand theft of a vehicle and firearm. He was released from jail Wednesday on a $100,000 bond. And just before 3 a.m. on Monday, Escambia County deputies say they spotted the 2006 Toyota Avalon that had been reported stolen. That's when a chase began. It ended when Holt crashed into a power pole. About 1,000 people were temporarily out of power when that happened. The effort for the city of Pensacola to become the permanent headquarters of the American Magic Sailing Team got a bit of good news yesterday.
Triumph Gulf Coast approved an $8.5 million grant for the Port of Pensacola, which will be used to design, renovate, and complete Warehouse 10. Renovations would include a 50-foot addition, along with the design and construction of a dock and boat ramp. The city is also pursuing another $5.4 million from the Governor's Job Growth Grant Fund and the Seaport Transportation Economic Development Program. City leaders say the permanent relocation of the world-famous sailing team would create 170 local high-paying jobs. The team has used the port as a temporary seasonal training site since 2018.
And that's News Radio's Joe Ford. A Brazilian-based company now has announced plans to establish its first U.S.-based operations. This will be in Century. Parent company Grupo GA230 says Algapast Corporation now has signed a lease to operate at the Industrial Park building. It's commonly known as the Helicopter Technology Building in Century. The company specializes in plastic injection products, and it's expected to create about 25 jobs there in Century within 5 years. Operations expected to begin later on this summer. The effects of Title 42's expiration yesterday may be seen even here in Florida. The policy designed to keep migrants from crossing the U.S.-Mexican border for health reasons expired last night. The White House sent extra personnel to the border to assess what could be a massive surge of people trying to cross. An official with the Border Patrol Miami sector says migrants who can't enter by land might now try to enter by sea through the Florida Keys. It's 5:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We're going to be
seeing a beautiful, warm, humid day today with temperatures rising near 85 degrees. Small chance of a few afternoon showers and thunderstorms, 20% chance of rain. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. As you go into Saturday, 10% chance of showers with a high near 85. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 71. For Mother's Day Sunday, 20% chance of rain in the afternoon, high near 88. Low on Sunday night near 73. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 73, partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. 73 in Gulf Breeze and a little cooler, 67 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. Along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here, Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us each month as we detail what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play, Pensacola. Tune in this morning at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
With the largest selection of in-stock vinyl plank flooring at the guaranteed lowest price, Home Outlet is your destination for all of your flooring needs. Modernize your space with easy-to-install rustic loft stone core vinyl plank, including pad, just $249 per square foot. Or brighten your space with the Sanibel Pier waterproof composite core vinyl plank with pad for only $319 per square foot. Visit the team at your local 100% employee-owned Home Outlet to get started on your project today.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Stream online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Now be honest. When they do the one little like slide whistle part, the do you do something different either with your hands or with your head?
I bend my fake guitar.
Yeah, we all. Everybody else does too. It just kind of you have to. You move with the music.
You do.
That's the way that works. Hey, yesterday we had a chance to talk to Wes Moreno. He is the county administrator for Escambia County, and I was talking to him Thursday prior to the meeting. There's no meeting yesterday. They canceled the committee of the whole meeting, but we had a really, really good conversation yesterday with him about a bunch of stuff. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Great to have you, and I know one of the things you're going to enjoy about today is that in about 2.5 hours, you will not have to attend the committee of the whole meeting because it's canceled again, which gives you a little bit more space in your day. I am curious, though. It seems like we are canceling these a lot and not really having the cows anymore. What's going on? Is this just a scheduling thing, or is there a reason?
No, most of it's a scheduling thing. You know, it's hard to rope all five up for an elongated amount of time. So I know the last meeting, there was commissioners that had a scheduling conflict, especially with summer coming on, and even in the past, it's just been a lot of scheduling conflict. But I would say this too, you know, I have an agenda item, the County Administrator's Report 3, which is discussion. So what I've opted to do, and if we're not going to have the committee hold, if there's not an issue that a board member wants to talk about, or if something we were going to talk about at a committee of the whole, I will add it to my discussion agenda, and we can take it on at that point in time. So I don't personally feel like we're losing any opportunity for the commissioners to discuss a topic, because I can put it on that agenda item, and they can have a robust conversation there. And you know, and it's, in my opinion, you know, having been on the other side of it, it frees up a lot of staff time. You know, you get a lot of staff sitting in those meetings because you never know what's going to come up. So they feel like they have to be there just in case. And so they're sitting there, and I know they have a lot of work to do other than just be sitting in the boardroom. So we're trying to be a little, two things. I guess we're trying to be a little more efficient from my end standpoint. And there has been some scheduling conflicts, quite a few.
Yeah, no, that makes sense from a staff use perspective. I appreciate that. Another kind of a smaller note, but just a question I have is the Escambia County EMS has this really, really great app called Pulse Point where you can see fire response, EMS response. There's a map, there's times. It's all, you know, great for information sake from our perspective for tracking incidents. It's been down for like a week and it's got a note, we're aware of the issue. Do you know anything about what's going on here or when we can expect that to be back up and active?
Yeah, I know it's been down. I'm not sure about the time frame to come back up. I'll have to get with our IT folks, and I'll give Eric Gilmore and see if he's got an update status for us.
Okay.
But, yeah, you're right. It is a great app. And I noticed I've been getting a lot more text messages on like we had the fire the other day, or there's a crash, the school bus crash the other morning. I've been getting some text messages, and I'm going to talk to Eric and see if that's something that he can push out a little more broadly, if you will.
Okay, sort of like since we don't have this, maybe we can have an alert system of some kind that people can subscribe to.
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like Nixle for, you know, the traffic in Gulf Breeze or whatever. That makes sense.
Yeah.
OLF-8, we know this is a big ongoing thing. Any updates since the commissioner meeting where they gave you the instruction of, you know, hey, we'd like to hold back 250 acres for, you know, non-residential development if we can in the contract. Any news on this front?
Yeah, so there's, you know, I talked to a gentleman yesterday afternoon with Horton, and he, you know, we've talked about their draft contract that they sent to us, and we're working feverishly on a response to that draft, and we look forward to probably presenting that to them next week. There's also, in lieu of holding out the 250 acres, there's been some discussions maybe with some other partners that had previously come to the table for the light industrial portion. And so we've been having a few conversations in that regard and seeing how that plays out. We've been talking about another possible Triumph ask for maybe Frank Reeder Road, since we own that. And as far as making that a heavy axle load type of roadway, a boulevard, if you will.
Okay, so widening and thickening both?
Yeah, the subgrade, the base, and asphalt, sidewalks and such. Yeah, there's a lot of activity going on around OLF-8. There's a lot of discussions still going around OLF-8, and we're tracking as fast as we can, as hard as we can, and we'll see. You know, it'll be interesting to see how things really end up in the end, what we bring to
them. I think you and I have talked about this before, but forgive me if we haven't. Has there been any conversation about, look, this is what we want to do eventually, but right now it's a really nice big park. Is there any way that the public would be able to, you know, fly kites and shoot rockets and, you know, play baseball and, you know, do the kind of stuff that the people would like to do on a big grassy knoll?
We've not had that discussion. We have not had that discussion. So it may be something we can have, but we've not had it as of yet.
Okay. I mean, because, you know, look, you know, might be we start breaking ground next year. It might be 5 years. And, you know, I'd hate to see I hate to see something that could be used for stuff not be used for anything at all. Wes, do we have any more public on Perdido Key, or is that still kind of in the research phase to confirm or disconfirm?
Yeah, we're still in some of the research phase. As it stands now, it's as it was, you know, inside the state park, to the, you know, back to the east, yes, to the west, no. There has been some activity based on the board's vote as far as the signage. I think some of the signage that was out from some of the condos has been removed. However, what they've done now is string some rope, if you will. The posts are still in place, and they've strung some rope between the posts. And so code enforcement's been out there. They've been having discussions and saying, hey, and, you know, that still doesn't adhere to the conservation plan, and that's not going to be allowable. So this morning or today, code enforcement will be back out, and if the ropes have not been removed, we'll start issuing citations.
Interesting. So
it's going to be an ongoing saga, I have a feeling.
Yeah, so people who had put up signposts and have now taken down the signs because of the vote to restrict to one per boundary line have instead put up rope, which is maybe not technically a sign, but not exactly what we had in mind. And so, interesting. So citations are going to be issued today, you say, over that. The there's also been some like informational signs put up with county logos on them, and instructing the public that they can walk on the wet sand, but that it shows a map of like all the way to the water as a property boundary. Do you know anything about that? Are those signs from the county? Because some people had said they didn't even think they were legitimate signs, but I assume they're county signs.
Well, if it's got our logo, I would have to guess they are our signs, but I have not heard that we placed any signs like that out. But again, I'll give a code enforcement and verify.
Okay, yeah, just while they're
also, not, we'll remove them.
Yeah, while they're also doing the other thing, you know, I'm sure it's easy to put eyeballs on these. I do have just a couple of things I've been thinking about with the Perdido Key stuff. If it turns out we have 75 feet, obviously, you know, in the conversation that came up was about placing the towers on 2 and 3 and then patrolling, and then, mm-hmm. Well, what do you do if they need to be above 75 feet for the visual perspective? And then, of course, hiring guards and all that. I know you're well aware of those. One thing that occurred to me is what makes Pensacola Beach work is that the guards have statutory authority to tell people what to do and to get out of the water and to red flag enforce. As I read the statute, because it's not owned by the county, even though it is an easement, it's not owned by the county, I don't think we have the same statutory authority. So you guys may want to look at whether that needs to be tweaked in order to grant guards the enforcement powers that they would need like they have out on the other beach. The other question or kind of observation is, we do cleanup, of course, on Pensacola Beach. And if the public is going to be encouraged or allowed or whatever to go out on, you know, Perdido Key, might have to think about the sanitation aspects of cleaning up after them. I mean, have you guys been thinking about those possibilities, those concerns?
No, we haven't. We haven't had that discussion. You know, you're right, Pensacola Beach is a whole different scenario.
Right.
Out there in Perdido Key, you know, if we get lifeguard stands, it'd just be, like you said, in those particular accesses. In between the accesses, I would tend to agree. If we're going to put lifeguards out there, they need to have some sort of authority.
Right.
As far as removal of trash, I would say even on Pensacola Beach, most of your trash is going to be beyond 75 feet from the water. It's going to be up in the big sand, and we're certainly not equipped to send crews out there removing trash. I would say that would probably remain status quo. But, you know, there's just a lot of challenges with that. I think if we get lifeguards out there, that would be a huge step in the right direction. But they would absolutely have to have some authority to, when you say get out of the water, get out of the water.
Right.
I tell you, lifeguards, they cover a wide range out there on the beach in the sand. It's not just lifeguarding, if you will. There's a lot of people walking up that lifeguard with a lot of different problems or issues, and whether it be enforcement issues, or I've seen them where, hey, my buddy's had a little bit too much to drink, can you come down and attend to him? And so they call in ambulances, and it's just a whole wide array of things that they get hit with in a day.
Most definitely.
And they stay awful busy. So they would have to have some authority.
What is your assessment, which I know you might not be able to give entirely, but is it your assessment that if we did try to staff up lifeguards on Perdido Key, that the applicant pool, especially on that side of town, is available? Like, how much of a challenge from a staffing perspective would that be? You know, easy, hard, not quite sure?
It would be a little bit, definitely be a challenge, because, I mean, it's a challenge for us right now. To fully staff up water safety as it exists today on Pensacola Beach.
Yeah.
You know, we're dealing with high school kids and young college kids, and of course it's seasonal. But yeah, it's a challenge for us to staff up what we have existing. And we raised pay last year and maybe before last to help with that. And it's still kind of been a challenge, but yeah, if that's what we decide to do, we would just have to, we'd have to, me and Eric and Dave Greenwood, we'd have to figure it out, but we would actually make it happen if that's what the direction is.
For sure. And you know, supervisors, right? I mean, cause you probably don't want them, you know, you mm-hmm. on that separate part of, you know, the oversight, you probably want to have that as well. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. By the way, there's a career fair for the county. There's all kinds of jobs available. Career fair coming up on the 18th. That's a week from today at the Bay Center from 9 to 2. So it'll be a big event. If you want to find a job or know somebody who needs a job, please bring them out to that. It'll be a great event. Wes, as always, man, thanks for keeping us informed, and thanks for doing the stuff you do to make the county run. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Andrew. We'll see you now.
Most definitely. 549 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors. You know, Dave Ramsey recommends them. Why? Well, obviously, in part, just because they're a good place to buy a car, but also because they sell the kinds of cars that he really recommends, same ones that I recommend in terms of cars that are a year or two old. You know, they're like new. They're the same car you would have if you bought a new car a year or two later, except you didn't have to pay the price for it, right? That's the big advantage. And so financially, they make sense. You buy them because you're going to be able to drive that car for 10 or 15 years, drive it till the wheels fall off. You know, I've put 330,000 miles on an Accord that I bought with 27 and drove it until I basically sold it when I was done with it and my mechanic fixed up a little bit and gave it away to somebody. Like, that's, you know, that's how I do cars. 190, I think, thousand on my Civic right now. We had a minivan, a Grand Caravan that we bought when our first son was born. Drove that for 15 years. Replaced it with the Odyssey. You know, that's kind of how we do. So if you want to go shop at a place where they specialize in the vehicles that you buy, not new, but almost, and then drive them until you can't drive them anymore and buy another one like that, that's Frontier Motors. That's what they specialize in. Great cars, good prices, great people, excellent customer service, all of that. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Escambia County is full of opportunities, and your next opportunity could be right around the corner.
On Thursday, May 18th, Escambia County is hosting a career fair from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center. This is your opportunity to speak with hiring managers and apply for your next career in person.
See our current openings and learn more at myescambia.com/careers.
We'll see you at the Escambia County Career Fair on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Are you ready to start saving money on your energy bill?
Join Compass Solar Energy today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Compass Solar has been locally owned and operated here in the Pensacola area for over 20 years, and they are Northwest Florida's premier solar company. Call in with your questions as we navigate through the rising costs of energy. That's today at 9 with Compass Solar Energy and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
Popping bottles in the ice like a blizzard. When we drink, we do it right. Getting slizzard, sipping scissor, been my ride. Like a G6, like a G6, like a G6.
Good morning, 5:54, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It's Friday. You made it. Yay. Take a round. Yeah, take a bow. I don't know, but, you know, feels like that sometimes, doesn't it?
Can I make a public service announcement?
Yeah, go on.
It's Mother's Day Sunday.
Oh, yeah, good one.
Guys, just because she's not your mother, she may be the mother of your kids. So, you know, even just a card, I'm just saying.
You know what, I'm weird. I'm weird on this, but like when I have kids, like our kids have birthdays,
yeah.
I try to do something for Danny because, you know.
Yes,
like,
you know, that's wonderful.
I mean, she's the one that did the work, not them. You know, and so same thing like on Mother's Day or whatever, you know, try to catch all the moms, you know, try to catch. And like, you know, my wife's birthday, I call her mom and thank her, that kind of stuff.
That's so sweet.
These little points add up, brother.
I'm saying.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden will be delivering the commencement speech tomorrow for the graduating class at Howard University. The head of the historically black university says they're excited to welcome the president and recognize him for his work uplifting communities that have been left behind. There's a new piece of legislation filed in Alabama targeting women that have abortions. Five Republicans introduced a bill in a state House committee yesterday, which would allow for mothers to be charged with murder if they have an abortion performed. Of course, their total abortion ban went into effect last June in Alabama. And E. Jean Carroll reportedly considering filing a new defamation lawsuit against former President Trump. Carroll's lawyer says everything is on the table after his appearance at a CNN town hall event. And during that event, as you heard, he called the claim that he sexually assaulted Carroll in the 90s a fake and made up story.
When he called her a whack job. And I mean, you know, like he said she said racist things about her husband and about the, I mean, this, you know, he trumped her. I mean, that's just what he does, right? So I wouldn't be all that surprised in any way if she files a subsequent defamation claim against him. Some of those are a little bit harder to prove than others. You know, the defamation is always a question of truth, right? But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. Great. So I got to watch a Biden speech. Yay for me. It's commencement speech time, which on the one hand, I always relish because they are interesting. It's interesting to listen to the speeches. Like Oprah gave one the other day at Tennessee State, I want to say. I recorded it. I haven't watched it yet. And, you know, Supreme Court justices give speeches and the president and the vice president give speeches. And, you know, they're often interesting. And then celebrities give them. And it's, you know, it's a fun time of the year from my point of view as somebody who likes to hear some of these. So I'm just saying I'm super eager to dive into the Biden speech, but good for the folks at Howard. 437-1620. There's some awful stories in the last 24 hours about things like in Oregon. And a lot of these stories seem to come out of the Northwest. And I used to live there, so it's kind of odd. I know it's a very different place, the Northwest. We used to call it the People's Republic of Oregon, which it is if you live there. But anyway, one of the things that came out of some classroom materials at 10th graders were being taught about is a study lesson section on what are the good and varieties of pornography that you ought to be aware of in the 10th grade. Here are the different types. And there's a lot of things in this lesson plan for 10th graders that I cannot say on the air. Or maybe I could say, but I'm not going to say.
Can you use a euphemism?
I can't even find a safe way to say it. Like the popular categories of porn are things like, well, blank licking and big blank and another big blank and then amateur and then mature and then some of these that are, like hentai. We're not going to get into some of the other. I mean, I can't even, some of us, I can't even say.
Not pronounced like that. I hear you, dude. That's a lot for 10th graders?
And here's one about feet. And here's one about like.
Oh, there's that guy.
No, but that's what I'm saying, right? This is for 10th graders? You're teaching people the types of, or there's a category childlike and power dynamics with the subcategories teen, barely legal, stepbrother, and daddy's little girl that they're explaining to 10th graders.
That's awful.
So, and with pictures, not of pornography, but of icons like a peach and an eggplant and an octopus and
are all things. Yeah, it's weird. Okay, there's a site.
I get it.
Okay.
I get that. But is it the job of the high school teacher in the 10th grade to be helping the kids have a more discerning palate for their pornography? Like, in what universe did you think this was a good idea? Now, is this representative of schools across the land? Well, God, I hope not. But this is thought to be by somebody age-appropriate instruction enough that they would share it with the kids in the classes in Oregon.